Okay, so roll call. We've got Brad Jenkins.
Yes.
Gordon Wright.
Yeah.
Lieutenant Katie Booth.
Yep.
Steven Ina.
Yep.
Is Ryan on yet? Or Pete? Okay. Brett's here.
Yes.
Commissioner Kaiser is here. Perry is on the line. Kathy Burton is here. I am here. And then we have Jan and Wendy from Best Bail Bonds, correct?
Yes.
Did I miss anybody else? Okay.
All right, Mr. Chairman.
Hey, if we've got enough for a quorum, which it looks like we do, I'd like to welcome everybody to this teleconference bail bond board meeting for the purpose of readdressing issues with Best Bail Bonds. And I believe we could turn it over to Kathy right now and let her take it from here.
All right. The first concern had been regarding...
No, you want to.
Is somebody else, has somebody else joined in?
Yeah, this is Pete Stevens. I apologize for being late.
All right. One of the first concerns was with the application that... on number 26, it said identify all owners with 10% interest or voting interest, partners, officers, and directors of the business entity, or members or managers of a limited liability company. And so we did discover that it said or as opposed to and. And Jan Erickson and Wendy Madrill amended the Articles of Organization of DJE Residential, and Wendy Madrill has been adopted as a member of the Best Bail Bonds. So that was the first concern regarding the application. The second concern regarded the hours for Wendy Madrill. She has to have the 2,000 hours, and the information that Best Bail Bonds had provided was that Wendy Madrill has been licensed with the state of Utah with a limited line producer producer license with the line of bail since April 14, 2011. And she was associated with Rebel Bail Bonds. She did, as the request was to send out a certified letter to Rebel Bail Bonds or Darren Brady to try to get a statement from him that she had worked the 2,000 hours. The email that I did receive back from Darren Brady said she did work for us during that time, but as far as knowing how many hours she worked, I have no idea because I wasn't there. All I can do is verify that she worked for us during that time. Wendy, do you have a record of how many bonds that you wrote during that time or any information that way?
I have a record of how many bonds per se I wrote, but I did take the liberty of writing down my hours that I worked.
Okay.
I covered the phones from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. 7 days a week. And so I kind of did a little bit of a calculation where even at a 40-hour day a week, which, you know, you're on call when you're bail bonds anyway, so you're answering the phone 24 hours a day, you can easily work well over the 40 hours. But even at 40 hours a week, between the time that I started with Rebel and the time that I ended, I did 6,080 hours, and that's just a conservative at 40 hours a week. Had an actual, you know, 12-hour day that you put in. So, not quite sure, you know, you could work on one person's bond for, you know, several days and never even actually write the bond as far as field work is concerned. So, you know, I just put down a 40-hour week and I made a little spreadsheet of that, and it's at least 6,000 hours.
So she was employed by Rebel for 37 weeks in 2011.
Uh-huh.
And she worked, she was on call 12 hours a day, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. because her ex covered the other 12 hours. So they split the shifts, okay? So at 84 hours a week, you know, so she has both numbers. At 84 hours a week, just in 2011, she would have worked 3,100 hours, okay, 3,108. But at 40 hours a week, conservatively, she would have worked 1,480 hours. And then in 2012, she was there. She was employed for 52 weeks, but she was there for 51 weeks because she took a 1 week off. Okay, and mm-hmm. So at the 84 hours, it's at, 4,200 and change hours. But even at only 40 hours, it's 2,040 hours. And then the last week, the last year, the next year was 2013. And then at 84 hours a week times 51 weeks. She was there 4,200 hours again, and at 40 weeks, she's only there for 2,000. And then in 2014, there's 13 weeks, and she did the same math at 84 and at 40. So what it came down to was 37 weeks the first year, 51, 51, and 13. At 84 hours a week, it comes down up to 12,768 hours, but at only a conservative 40 hours per week, it comes to 6,080 hours.
This is Brett, Mr. Chairman, and if I may, to put it in, to put this maybe in context, when we calculate at the state the cost for a full-time employee, we use a 2,080-hour year. So that's full-time based on the state's.
40 hours a week, right.
Okay. This is Brad. When the hours were substantiated to the department, to Kathy, I believe that the tax records were provided. Were they provided for all 4 years?
There was one.
For 2 years.
Pardon?
They were provided for 2 years because there were 1099s generated by Best Bail Bonds for 2 years. By Rebel Bail Bonds for 2 years.
Right, and the third one you couldn't come up. You didn't have the ability to get, correct?
One was never generated.
Okay, this is Gordon. I have more than one bond company call me regarding these hours, so I would like to know, if possible, if the amount of money that she made is consistent with the amount of 2,000 hours a year. I have several agents that work for me in smaller counties that have worked for me about during the same amount of time, but they don't work every 12 hours. They're on call, but they're doing other things when they're on call. And their wages, I would not consider them having worked 2,000 hours just because they don't make enough money for me to consider them making 2,000 hours. My Logan agent probably makes $5,000 or $6,000 a year. I would not consider a $5,000 or $6,000 1099 to her as meaning 2,000 hours that she's worked that year. So the question that these bond companies have asked me that I've been asked
those are
to
public,
ask
right? Other than the
is,
social.
Is the amount of money that she's received on the 1099 consistent with a 2,000 hour work week?
$24,000.
Yes, for 2011. Yes, Catherine's got those documents. But
you need to divide it in half because it was for two different.
Yeah, Kathy's got those documents, but they're significantly, significantly many more times than $6,000 a year.
A couple of thoughts. This is Brad. A couple of thoughts I've had is, if we're talking about 4 years, I'm wondering why a 1099 was not generated for the other years, and I believe Kathy can correct me on this if I'm wrong, but I believe the 2,000 hours is required in the bonding industry and not in the secretarial part, and I don't know if there's a way to differentiate between that.
Well, as you know, as employers, it is the employer's responsibility to generate a 1099 and distribute it to an employee by the 31st of January, the calendar year following when a year is completed. And so it's not something that an employee can generate. It's something that has to come from the employer. It's pretty clear from this particular employer that there probably wasn't the optimal accuracy in terms of bookkeeping, for him to have not generated 1099.
Was there any effort made to get him to generate those 1099s?
He never responded. He never responded in terms of that. He wasn't in the office, and so he just wasn't involved in getting that done.
If I could interject, this is Kathy. The two 1099s that were provided for 2011 and 2012, they were provided for Nelson and Wendy, but if you take the entire amount and you divide it in half on both of them, it does look like she would be making...
Well, it's for 2,000 hours, it's $12 an hour. This is Commissioner Kaiser, so it would seem to me that, I mean, I don't know what wages they make, but at $12 an hour, that's 2,000 hours, so it would seem to me it would be pretty close, but I don't know what you pay staff to work. If it's $20 an hour, then you're not at the hours, but at $12 an hour, that's what, I don't know what wages are for a receptionist or someone that's on call and doing the types of work that you're asking somebody to do. The average would be about 12 is what it would look like to me.
And that's based on 2 years.
Yes.
And we have...
This is Brad. Is that 12?
4 years.
Is that $12 an hour based on Wendy alone, or is it based on her and her husband? Would that be split to six if it was just Wendy?
No. We already factored in we already factored and took out half of it for Nelson. That's the best we could do.
With what was filed. It is a dual tax return, so there really isn't any way to determine.
Well, we don't have who did what. Well, we don't have.
Could have been 90%. Could have been 90% Wendy, 10% husband, or 90% husband and 10% Wendy, and there's no real way to verify that.
On the 1099.
And that doesn't include the years that there aren't 1099s for. That's in addition to.
Any of those years, I think we would have to definitely rely on a letter that confirms something, which that letter that came from Mr. Brady was about as benign as anything I've ever seen.
Well, there were bonds written during those periods outside of the 1099s that would document that as well.
Do you have or do not have record of those bonds that were written?
Yes, we have record of the bonds.
You have record of all the bonds for the 4 years?
Yes.
It was actually just 3 years.
Oh, go ahead, Kathy. This is Ryan. I was just going to say something.
Oh, I'm sorry. I believe she was licensed with the state since August of 2011 or April of 2011.
April.
And she was... until 2013, so really you're talking 3 years, not 4 years.
Okay, yeah, three then.
Well, this is Ryan. I'm just curious. Now it's $12,000 on the 1099. Is that, I kind of got in the conversation a little bit late. But that seems to me that that could be 1 day's worth of work, or that could be a year's worth of work, but we should get, if she's paid by commission, we should see how many bonds she wrote to determine how many hours or how many days she's worked.
Well, she has many, many bonds that she wrote during that period of time, and it wasn't $12,000, it was 12,000 hours based on 84 hours a week of being on call from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. every day, 7 days a week.
And I think that was based on 4 years, but now we've got it down to where it was only actually 3 years?
Yes, it was, but what we were talking about, the monetary amounts on the 2011 and the 2012 1099s.
Okay. I'm just seeing where, at the beginning, it seemed like they were talking about hours for 4 different years, and then now it's been brought up that she was only licensed for 3.
From 2011, she was associated. She's been licensed the entire time, but she was associated to Rebel until, I believe it was September of 2013.
I have, let me.
Revel was March 8th of 2014 was the last bond I wrote for them.
She wasn't associated with them.
Also, with recalculating, taking 51 weeks out of these calculations, at 84 hours a week, it reduces it to 8,484. At 40, a conservative 40 hours a week, it reduces to 4,040 without that 51 weeks. So I took, instead of 37 plus 51 plus 51 plus 13, I took 37 plus 51 plus 13 and did the ratio, just so that you know that it's still well over the required 2,000.
This is Commissioner Kaiser. I guess I'm not at a comfortable level saying that I'm going to give 80 hours because I'm on call. On call means that you could be fishing and have your phone with you, and you're not really doing bail bond work, you're fishing. But that hour that you are fishing, that you have to put your pole down and talk to somebody about something, you know, then you really are on the clock and making money. So I'm not just delighted to hear that, you know, she's on call and making a lot of money, or on call and gaining a lot of hours, because I'm not sure that hours is what triggers for me that a person's qualified to do work. It's how much work has she done, and I would rather us talk in terms of, okay, yeah, she was on call, but, you know, she worked and did these types of things during that 80 hours that she was on call. I want to know that she's capable and qualified and can assist and do the things that she needs to do to help somebody get a bond, to get certified and do all that needs to be done. And we recognize, as a legislator, I would have put $2,000 or 2,000 hours out there, because I would expect someone sitting at a desk doing work and churning work in 2,000 hours, not sitting by a phone, you know, thinking that maybe someone's going to get some work. So I'm a little bit miffed. I hate to put that perception that I'm giving hours for somebody, and this is my legislative hat, that I'm a little bit miffed that there's an expectation that someone can do their hours by just sitting at a phone and waiting for it to ring. That, to me, is an experience. And so,
well, that's the calculation at 84 hours a week. That's assuming all hours on call. That came out to, at 84 hours a week, that came out to 8,484. However, at a very, very, very conservative 40 hours a week, that still was reduced to a still significant more than double the minimum requirement, 4,040 hours. That at only 40 hours.
I want to speak as a legislator, not as a commissioner right now, but as a legislator. When I throw that 2,000 hours out there, I'm expecting that someone's getting experience. And if you're just on call, even if you're on call for 40 hours, not 80 hours, and all you're is on call, what type of experience are you getting to qualify for licensure? So what I'd like to discuss is what type of work. And now I'm going to put my commissioner hat on and say, you know, if you're qualified, we really want to qualify you. That's our desire here today. Let's get you qualified, but help us get comfortable with your experience and the work that you have done. So those are, and that's what I think your committee is getting to, the bail bond board is getting to here, is how many bonds did you write during that period of time? What's your experience? What are the credentials now that you have that make us feel comfortable that we can license you?
I have dozens and dozens of bonds that I've done. I have records. Yes, you are on call, but you also write bonds. You fill out promissory notes. I mean, you fill calls. You call family members. You call friends. You try to help these people get out of jail. It's not just sitting on the phone. You actually do work. You make sure that they have employment so that they can...
Wendy?
Things of that nature. It's not just about the hours being on call. I do, you know, I wrote bonds. The last bond that I have here that I wrote for Rebel Bell Bonds was March of 2014.
Wendy, this is Kathy. How many bonds did you write for Rebel?
I don't have a specific number. I guess I could have, I mean, you know, dozens and dozens, yes, absolutely. It was countless. I don't know how many I wrote.
This is Brad. What I might suggest is maybe if you could round up the bonds, the information on the bonds, year by year, and get those to Kathy, I think that would be the best way to verify everything we're trying to verify today. If that sounds good to Commissioner Kaiser.
Well, I'm not the judge and authority. It's the bail bond. You guys are making the decision, not me.
I understand.
I'm listening to this discussion, and you know, no one's saying anything, but so I guess I blurted in because I thought, I want to get comfortable here, too, as something I can say help everybody get comfortable. And, you know, I think we would like to see this licensure happen. We're not here as a stumbling block or a roadblock. You know, it looks to me from the money that was paid, you know, if half of those wages are yours, that you're, you know, someone's paying you to do something. They're not paying you to do nothing, to listen to the phone, maybe ring. So there's evidence to me that, you know, that someone paid you to, you know, to do work there, and it would appear to me that, you know, that you did at $12 an hour, you logged in, you know, 1,000 hours a year. So I'm looking at it from that standpoint. That gives me a lot of comfort. That from that position, I would probably move towards saying, yeah, this is okay. But I think, you know, I keep hearing these hours that I did while I was on call. I want to hear, what's your experience? And just get us comfortable there. That's...
Well, my experience would be having good relations with the jail, with the court. And there's all sorts of different courts because I couldn't do bonds just out of Salt Lake. I could do bonds anywhere. And I did that. I did bonds out of Utah County. I did bonds, you know, out of any county that somebody would call and ask for assistance on. You know, you build a clientele, which sounds a little interesting, but you have repeat people that come back to you all the time because you're great to work with and you know what you're doing. You know, it's about working with the other bail bond agents that are inside of your company. I mean, there were several times that they would call me to do one and vice versa, I would call them to do a bond. So it's not just actually writing the bond, you're working, you know, you're doing a service to people. You're researching, you have to get online and you have to research, we had to get an account with the court so that we could pull up all of their history. I mean, it's not just writing a bond that goes into how many hours and what you do for doing bail bonds. You have to know a lot more than just calling up the jail to find out what somebody's bail is, you know?
What area did she work in?
There are several calls that you make and you can do and you do research and then at the end of it you decide not to do the bond because it's not going to benefit you or the person in jail to get them out. So to me it's not just the bond, it's actually the work that goes into it as well.
It's crazy. What was her main area of work? Did she work all over the state or did she work in a specific county?
Salt Lake City was my main area. But I did bonds, like I said, I did bonds out of Provo, I did bonds Ogden, I did bonds anywhere that somebody would call me and I was able to get to if it was a good bond to do. Sometimes they weren't good to do. So there were times I denied people and said I wasn't comfortable getting them out of jail. So
my only thought is like in Salt Lake, I have an agent to make far more money than anybody.
She's
in Salt Lake. She makes 10 times what my other agents make, and she writes about half the amount of bonds somebody else writes. So that would be one concern is when's the actual bonding being done? Because like Commissioner Kaiser said, perfect example is today. It's been kind of a slow day, but I've been on since 5 o'clock this morning, but I haven't done really anything bond related until I got on this phone call. So, I mean, that is kind of a concern there. I can see what Commissioner Kaiser is saying about the $12 an hour, you know, that would equal full-time employment. And we may have to look at that, but the other thing I think would be really helpful is if we could get a number of bonds that have been written so we have some kind of thing to go off, because like I say, Salt Lake bonds are significantly higher, and you can make significantly more money in that market than you can make in the other markets. I know in the Provo market, that's not a high vol area. There's bonds written there. Yeah, I have an agent that writes a considerable amount of bonds. He wrote at least three times the amount of bonds that my Salt Lake agent did, but my Salt Lake made more than my Utah County agent. So I think it would be helpful if we had bonds, but I'll do whatever you guys want.
This is Katie. So I have a couple of concerns. First of all, I have a concern on what are we using to quantify the cheap and hours. How has this been submitted before? If it's purely financial, I agree. Bonds come in all different percentages and different amounts. So like Gordon said, you could write six bonds and make as much money as somebody wrote 50 bonds in some areas. So for me, how is this quantified? Is it strictly, are we strictly relying on a previous employer or an employer to provide those hours? And if that is the case, I really think, this is probably not the meeting for it, we need to relook at how we are collecting this, how we're quantifying the hours. If we're quantifying hours, should we be doing it that way? Should it be done with the amount of bonds written and use that amount of time? Because this seems like we're wasting a lot of time on a certification of somebody's 2,000 hours.
Well, you know, that is a good point because we've reached out to Darren through several different means, and he has not come forth in terms of verifying hours. And he, you know, the closest that we came was Kathy emailing him and him saying, I was never in the office, I can't verify. I can just verify that she was employed by me. So, you know, clearly she did the work, clearly she was there, clearly she was actively involved in the business, you know, clearly she was documenting all of her work in terms of the bonds and the promissory notes and all of the different documents involved in the process. We even sent a certified letter to him, and he never responded. So, I mean, you know, we can't make him produce information that that he's not willing to produce, and yet is that fair to hold that against her?
Yes, so this is Commissioner Kaiser, and I would not hold that against her. That's a competitor, and I don't think that's unfortunate that we don't have those, but I don't think I would hold it against her. That's not a piece that concerns me as much as and she may very well have the experience and the hours to qualify, but that's not something that I would get into that would bother me. Someone else on the board might have that frustration, but because it's a competitor, because of employment laws, I'm not going to go there. I can't go there.
But how are we relying on getting the hours then, because we're holding up her license because there's no verification of it? So either, like I said, this might not be for this meeting, but we've got to find a different way so we're not going around and around trying to verify somebody's hours when there has to be an easier way to do this.
Perry, this is Todd again. Do you have any comments that you might lead us through this legal maze a little bit? Perry, is your mute button off? Maybe she somehow dropped.
Do you know, Kathy, what we've done in the past? Like Perry has a different perspective because she's been representing the bail bond board for over 10 years, but
in the past, a former employer has validated through a letter the 2,000 hours, but they haven't been more specific. The code does say that the information has to come from a former employer regarding the 2,000 hours, but that's as specific as it gets.
Well, clearly she was employed.
Brad, I kind of think that I can see the stumbling block with a former employer not wanting to step up to the plate and help. And I think that if we could have her get a record of the bonds that she's produced, maybe get them to Kathy and go over those, I think that might be the answer for this case. And in the future, I agree. I think it would be nice to maybe clarify things a little bit better.
Yeah, this is Brett, and I recognize that I'm not a voting member of the board, but as the department's representative on the board, I feel like the board and the department have an obligation to not only the citizens of the state of Utah, but also the other bail bond licensees to ensure that as we issue a license, we have done our due diligence, we have met the legal requirements, the statutory requirements set out by the legislature to make certain that the people that are engaged in the business of bail or property and casualty insurance or whatever it is that we regulate have the requisite experience to do that. And it feels to me like, I agree with Commissioner Kaiser, we want to approve this, but we want to make sure that everything is as it should be, and that if the worst were to happen, we had a problem down the road, that the bail bond board isn't making a recommendation without any real facts to back it up. So anyway, those are my thoughts.
This is Gordon. On that, thank you, Brett. On that, that Brett just said, I think we should, I'll just make a motion that I think we just need a little bit more documentation. If she can provide bond, proof of bond, that can't be that hard. I mean, your bonds are numbered, that you're right, you can go through exchange and find them. I don't know how that's going to happen, but I agree with Mr. Barrett that I think we do have an obligation to see this, because from my personal experience, being in the bond business for 20 years, like I was saying before, one agent can work very few hours and make three times the amount that another agent's working. I just think we need to see that there's actually been 50 hours work and not just sitting on the phone waiting for the phone to ring, which the majority of, at least in my company, I spend a lot of time waiting for the phone to ring.
Just make a motion. So we have a motion from, go ahead and Gordon, clarify that.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I was going to say,
it sounds like Gordon made a motion that we postpone this until more documentation is given. And I would think as soon as that documentation is given, we could set something up again, a conference or...
This is Stephen Ina. I'd like, before we address that motion, I do have another concern that's come up. I just wanted to, since I don't know as much about counting hours and things, I didn't know, but didn't have much to weigh in on that particular matter. But I do have another concern that's come up that I've found. And if Wendy can maybe confirm that this is correct, I'm seeing that there are three different judgments from small claims and debt collection cases that don't have a satisfaction of judgment. In other words, those judgments are at least technically outstanding, and I believe from as far back as 2009. Against Wendy, and that would be a very big concern, character-wise. Wendy, can you comment on those?
I am unaware of any outstanding judgments. I recently just purchased a home and just went through a pretty rigorous credit.
Do you recognize one from Asset Acceptance LLC from 2009?
No.
It's under your name with your address and or at least where it appears to me that they are you, as best I've been able to confirm. Asset Acceptance, Fast Bucks.
Did you run a credit report?
No, this is off a public record exchange court document docket lookup.
There's that going on there right now.
I know for me personally, and this is Jan, I know I
was just being harassed by, well, of course, my last name's Erickson, pretty common name. I was just being harassed by a creditor, you know, who kept saying that, you know, I owed some $7,000-something dollars, and it was a company, once again, that I had no recollection of. And so I ended up having to file something on a public government website to say, hey, back off, because this is not me. And sure enough, it was another Jan Erickson. They had just done basically, I guess, a Google search, found that I happened to be a Jan Erickson in Utah, then decided to pick my name and my address and link it to this this bill, which ended up being, when I finally provided the last four of my social, they clearly verified that it was a different Jan Erickson, but they were pressing me until that point in time. So I know some of these databases can be very, very erroneous, but Wendy doesn't know about any of these.
I'd like to hear from Wendy. Anything in 2009 that you had debt collection cases that went to court?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Can I get, do you mind giving me your last four? What's that for?
2408.
2408?
Yes.
Because it appears that these are under those 2408 last four. At least,
She just closed on a house through a government program.
So, I'm just expressing some very big concerns that I have with outstanding judgment that are pretty darn, as far as I can see, are pretty darn sure to be, unless someone else is with your name and the same last four of your social and lived at the exact same address.
Well, can you provide Wendy a copy of that page so that she can research that, because she is quite sure it's not her. I mean, if there was a judgment against her, she would have known about it.
Stephen?
I'm sorry.
This is Kathy Burton. I will go ahead and get that information from you, and then I'll work with Wendy on that part of it.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thanks, Stephen. Brad, this is Gordon again. With this, I did look up that judgment. I'm looking exactly what Stephen said. At this point, I think we need to resolve that. We need to resolve the issue. So I just make a motion that we table this thing until these get resolved.
This is Ryan. I second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any against? Motion carries unanimously. We will table this until Steve gets the information to Kathy. Kathy will forward it to Wendy and work with her to find out if this really is her or not, get it resolved, and then bring the bond numbers to Kathy by year, and let's try to get this resolved and move it forward. Any other comments or thoughts?
Yep. Bye.
I'd like to thank everybody for coming, and I know it went a little longer than we thought. And I know this takes time out of everybody's day, but in the effort to try to make sure that we do things in a timely manner and move these licenses forward, I appreciate everybody's time and effort, and we will wait for a future date.
Again,
thank you.